Welcome to Incandescent Tarot, a podcast exploring how to integrate tarot and spirituality with everyday life. I'm your host, Gina Wysotsky, a pro reader and utter tarot enthusiast. Join me as we tackle big questions like why the tower is so intimidating and what it means to develop a spiritual practice in this wild modern world. Hello, lovely listeners, and welcome to our December edition of Ask a Tarot Reader, a segment of this podcast where we dive into two different listener-submitted questions, one about the technical side of tarot, how to read, how to navigate the cards, and another for a mini tarot reading, so a personal question that we can use the cards to dive into and explore. So we're going to mix up our usual sequence for this episode because we have such a topical question from our mini reading personal pile that I thought it would be best to start there because it's all about the holiday season. We're in it. It's happening right now. How is everyone doing? How is everyone surviving? And let's just go and read this question from a lovely listener who is credited as anonymous, so thank you for submitting. And they ask, how can I nourish my need for peacefulness with my family during the busy and intense Christmas holiday? So I love this. I love the wording of this question, particularly the framing of nourishing the need for peacefulness. What a lovely, lovely way to think about this issue. So just wanted to commend the positive spin and also focus on the idea of using our questions to get our readings off on the right foot, rather a foot that we would want to be standing on. So just having some mindfulness around how you are posing your question goes a long way. And I'm really interested in this idea of nourishing, which I just think is such a uplifting stance to take. How can I feed the side of myself that is going to be present with my family in a positive way? So, as is tradition, we have two cards that we are going to be looking at, and they are face down at the table in front of me. Let's go ahead and turn them over. I'm going to tell you what I see, but if you would like to see an image of them, you can head over to the Incandescent Tarot Substack, incandescenttarot.substack.com, and go to the post for this episode. So there will be a photo of the spread there that you can look at as well. You can also just Google. These are the classic Rider-Waite-Smith cards. They will be the first ones that come up when you type their names into the search engine. Okay. I had to rub my hands together ceremoniously before going to flip these over. It's my favorite part. Okay. Oh my. You know, it's funny these are here because these two cards have been in recent readings. So they are fresh on the mind, and we have some intense imagery that we're working with. The first card that we have is the Eight of Pentacles, and this image features a person on a workbench, and they are hammering on one gold pentacle, so that's a circular coin. These are kind of the size of dinner plates, actually. And they have a chisel. They are chiseling the symbol of the pentacle, which other people may know as a pentagram, and they're chiseling that onto their one dinner plate that they have in front of them. I'm saying that in jest. It's actually just a pentacle. And there is another one at their feet on the ground. And then the six remaining pentacles are hung on this, what looks like a tree, to the right-hand side of the card. So this is a very straightforward image of work, working on creating the pentacles. So that is one half of our reading. And I'm going to go ahead and just tell you about the whole thing. The second half is the Ten of Swords. This card is a downer. We'll be very blunt about it. And it's a downer in more ways than one, actually. It's an upsetting card with an upsetting meaning, but it also shows someone who has fallen down face first onto a beach. What looks like a beach. There's a body of water to their left. and they are splayed out with 10 swords sticking out of their back. We can't see their face. It's turned away. And there is this very dark black sky, but a yellow bright sunrise that is slowly starting to unfurl in the center of the card. So, for this reading, there is quite the contrast. Or I wouldn't say contrast, but rather, this is one of those readings that I think is affirming a feeling of, oh my goodness, there's so much going on. This is maybe a fraught area of this querent's life. And there is the potential for falling flat on your face and feeling overwhelmed by a lot. And I am just thinking about the swords in general here, that what's coming through for me is just a lot of talk, some barbed words maybe, but also just sort of an overwhelm of opinion and input and information. Most of it maybe not so useful. So that is difficult to see. Obviously, when we pose a question for a reading, we can't help it, but we want to get something nice in return. However, and I think I've talked about this before, but I think what makes tarot so wonderful and what people like about it actually is that it reflects the grislier parts, the more challenging parts of life back at us too. And there's something very healing about having that validated in a system, especially in a system that has a lot of spiritual undertones, overtones, tones. It really depends on how you're using it, how intense that is. But to have a spiritual outlook that gives you the full palette to paint with, I think is really wonderful. And here, there is an affirmation going on that, like, yes, this can be a very difficult space. There is a potential for the same difficulties that you're already familiar with to happen again. However, we are also given a very different path here. And I'm drawn to the continuity that the yellow of the sunrise in the Ten of Swords, an otherwise upsetting card, this place of positivity, the rising sun, that says this is temporary, the darkness is lifting, it's a matter of time and sort of getting through things. So that's another piece to this reading, a bit of advice is that, you know, if you find yourself face down on the beach, just wait, you could endure, this is not permanent. However, the other piece of yellow in this reading is in all of these pentacles. So that to me speaks to almost like a meeting of energies, that the natural alleviation of this difficult situation, if it arises, is being met by all the hard work that this person has been doing. So if the Eight of Pentacles has been preparing, practicing, building a really positive life for themselves, all of that work is there. They have something to show for it, which we can see in this showcasing in the card of all these pentacles on this tree. They're hanging up, they're visible, they're completed. And this person is continuing their work. They're still hammering away. They are dedicated. They've been doing this for a while. And so it makes me think that going into the holiday season, and as I'm saying all this, I feel like this is pretty helpful for a lot of us, for me at least, to remember all the work that you've been doing to build a life for yourself. And I feel like this is also where the pentacles are shining at their full brightness, because if you've been in this space for a while, if you're familiar with tarot, you've likely heard pentacles associated with work, wealth, money, practicality. They are coins. And that can be wonderful and is very true, but it can also be limiting. And so here, I feel like the other side of pentacles is coming through as well, which is more of a sort of embodied spirituality. So doing what you value, making room for what's important for you in your physical world. So I would invite the querent for this question to think about the ways that you have been really dedicating yourself to living a life that reflects your values, where you've been making ideas into reality, and that you've been doing this for quite some time, and that you have a lot to show for all of that effort that is going to almost kind of break open some of the tension in the Ten of Swords. So while there may be potential for overwhelm, for some conflict, it does not have to knock you down. And in fact, you may find yourself surprised at the strength that you have going into this situation. And I think there's a contrast here that's very helpful in that we have the Swords and the Pentacles. And the Swords are about the mind. So they have to do with concepts, with communication, with how we talk to each other. Pentacles are all about the physical world, what we're doing and how it is fruiting into something tangible. So a silly saying comes to mind. It was like, the proof is in the pudding. If you're getting a lot of things lobbed at you or brushing up against some ideas about how things should be, how you should be, you know, look to how your life as you're living it on the ground is actually feeling and showing up for you. That it can be easy to get lost in the weeds of details and hypotheticals and semantics, but like, you know where you stand, the work you're doing, and how it is paying off and is continuing to pay off for you. So there's a beauty there, and almost like I'm imagining the workbench scenario that we start the reading with being exactly where you go back to after however the Ten of Swords unfolds for you. So like all of that is almost like the yellow of those pentacles is rising over, breaking open the intensity of the Ten of Swords, and then just resuming back to its normal status quo on the other side. So it does seem like there's a lot of potential for healing here in this situation, and also just the beautiful routines of your actual life really holding you up and giving back and giving you a sense of rootedness, groundedness, of real kind of traction, that that's where you're actually living. Some of this is temporary, irksome, can be a little stressful, but it is definitely not the status quo. You've been working really hard to build and maintain your own status quo, and it's really taken on a life of its own. The eights are later on in the sequence. They're sort of like a card of refinement and dedication. So don't feel like you need to reinvent the wheel, start from scratch, or actively interrogate the choices you've made. They're working for you. They're working for you. The proof is in the pudding. It feels very seasonal, festive. So I would really go to that Eight of Pentacles as a place to feel pride and security and stability, and even use that to contextualize the Ten of Swords, because it's possible that things are a lot less dire or intense or consuming as other people may feel they are. It doesn't have to be your reality. Your reality is quite lovely. So thank you so much for submitting this wonderful question just in time for the holidays, and I hope you're hearing it exactly when you need to. It is always a gift to get these from you all. So if you listening have something you would like to submit, please go over to incandescenttarot.com, ask a tarot reader, and add your question there. You can also email me info@incandescenttarot.com. Okay, so on to our technical question. This is a perennial topic, and I have done an episode about this before, I think a full-length episode. I have a blog post about it that is one of my top-performing web pages, and I'm going to readdress this just because it is so on people's minds, and I got two requests to talk about this over the past month. So we're going to do a quick little discussion about reversed tarot cards, because this is probably one of the biggest differentiators, like differentiating choices you can make in your tarot practice. And as you are learning about tarot, you will see people who include reverse card meanings in all of their resources and who talk a lot about this. And this for me was a big turning point in how I read tarot, because I learned with reversals. So I learned with books because I am ancient and mysterious, but I learned with books. There were not a lot of resources available to me, and the internet was young and tender. And that was all I was exposed to, was just, you just read with reversals. That's what you did. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure. Obviously that was a long time ago, but I do think that it was challenging for me because I had all of the memorization down, but I found that my readings were just not flowing. And as I started reading for more people, I think this is about 10 years into my practice, I started thinking, like, what if I just didn't do this? And I hadn't been really connected with a tarot community at that time. So I wasn't really comparing notes with anyone or hearing how other people were reading quite as much. But I don't remember when or how I decided, but I was just, you know, one day I thought, what if I just didn't do reversals? And you know what? That, in addition to reading for other people, was probably one of the biggest moments in my personal tarot reading journey. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can read tarot. It is a tradition, yes, but it's also rooted in just the tradition of humans finding patterns and things and using those patterns to create messages and meanings. And because of that, there's a lot of wiggle room. You can read tarot in so many different ways. You can read tarot with an astrological lens. I don't do that. It's not interesting to me. You can read tarot through all sorts of different spiritual lenses. And I think one of the big moments in becoming a tarot reader, in really devoting yourself to the practice, is realizing that you have to read as yourself. You have to make choices that reflect your values, your beliefs, and your strengths as a tarot reader. And for me, reading with reversals was not magnifying my strengths as a reader. I found and continue to find that when I do readings, and a lot of my approach is based in intuitive tarot, so using your intuition to navigate the reading itself, that I would much rather use my intuition and the context of the other cards to suss out whether that card's energy is blocked, is encouraged, how that is interacting with the reading as a whole. In my studies, in my travels in the tarot landscape, I've noticed that a lot of reversals are sort of used as shorthand to say, oh, well, this is blocked, this energy is not happening here, or should be happening, or this is how you can course correct to make it happen. For me, it was a lot more fluid and intuitive to just let the cards speak for themselves. And I recognize there's some judgment there. Obviously, I really like reading without reversals, so I am going to be I'm going to proselytize for a little bit. But, you know, you can do either. It's just about whatever makes the reading feel and unfurl, really, in a way that is coherent, has a sense of ease, and just is legible to you. Like, does it help you to have reversals, or does it not? And it was very freeing for me to just make that decision to not do it. And interestingly, since then, as I broadened my tarot horizons, started connecting with more people, I found that there were a lot of well-respected tarot professionals, tarot readers, practitioners, who also don't read with reversals. I think it can get prescriptive in the beginning, which sometimes has its value. You know, it helps to learn things with rules, especially sort of like training wheels. You need that structure to really hold you up while you're learning a bunch of stuff. But as you continue to read, there are some parts of tarot that you may find just don't work for you. And it is a little bit of a thrill to make the choice for yourself, a little nerve-wracking, to be like, you know, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to do this differently. And you can always change back if it's something that doesn't work. But I just remember feeling a huge sense of like, oh, great. I'm not having to worry about this. I'm not having these points in my reading that feel really gummy or awkward. That's not to say that my readings are always coherent and just like full of resounding clarity. But I think that the way my brain works, the way my reading style is, meandering around a bunch of upright cards, trying to suss out what they're saying to each other and about each other, is much more fruitful than having the reversals. And as I'm saying this, I do kind of wonder if there's a bit of a personality test here that, you know, let me know actually in the comments. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, like whether if you read with reversals, you feel like you like to have a little bit more structure, or I'm just imagining like something going along a maze and like hitting a wall and then redirecting. Like, do the reversals kind of steer your readings in a way that feels more predictable? Is not the word I'm looking for, but just more coherent, more clear to you. I tend to like a bit of a muddle. And so all the uprights, I feel, give my brain space to really stretch into all the possibilities of the reading. So I hope that this is a helpful little musing on this, and I'll do some digging and put the other places where I've talked about this in the show notes. I'm kind of curious to see how my ideas have changed over time. You know, it's been like over 10 years since, which is so frightening to say, but frightening or majestic, you know, a little reframe would be good. But it has been quite some time since I stopped reading with reversals. So it would be interesting to just try again. But I think, you know, you find your way and you find your voice and you find your own style as a reader. So I do encourage you to make those choices. No, they're not set in stone. And to have some sense of play and experimentation with these lovely pieces of cardstock. We get to do a lot of things with them, and we get to make the choices about how we do our readings. So reversals or no, do what works for you. And know that you'll find lots of allies, lots of opinions. When it all comes down to it, it's just about the reading itself and your experience doing it. Now, if this is something you're interested in, I cannot resist, even though part of me is like, oh God, but I can't resist a little plug because I am working on a class that I'm going to be launching soon about how you can learn tarot in a way that feels embodied and authentic and true to you. Because I do know in all of my time teaching and working with people that this is a lovely system and it's fairly intimidating and there's a lot to learn, but as this topic really encapsulates, I found in my journey and continue to find that when you read as yourself in a way that feels true to yourself, you do your best work with tarot. So I love creating spaces and helping people find the ways that they read best. So if that sounds lovely to you, stay tuned. I'm very, very excited to be launching that in the coming months. So just wanted to share a little bit with you here, a little breadcrumb, if you will. And thank you so much for being a part of this latest episode, for listening along. If you enjoyed it, please do rate and review. I will be sharing these on my Substack. There is going to be a bit of a change in that these will not be sent out as emails. I'm maybe a little over conscientious in not wanting to spam people, and I am sending out more now to subscribers. So these will continue to be published, but they won't be going out in email blasts. I'll probably cross-reference them on the regular posts, but if you want to be up to date, this is all to say, if you want to be up to date, please subscribe on your platform of choice. This podcast is everywhere except for Spotify at the moment. And then you will be sure to not miss any episodes. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll be back next month with a new group of questions. Please submit any you may have on the website. Until next time.